So let's start off with a word of prayer, okay? Father, I thank you, Lord, so much for your blessings. I thank you, Lord, for your word, Lord. It is sure. It's a foundation. And Lord, I thank you so much, Father, that you speak to us through it, Lord, and you saved us through the word of God, Lord. You showed us the way, the light. Pray, Father, you'd bless this time. I need you, Lord. I can't do this on my own. Pray Holy Spirit would work and bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, this is just a little review of some things, just in case people were wondering, what am I using, right? Well, guess what? I'm using a good King James Bible, Amen. Study Bible. Actually, I probably use my, not my phone, but my computer, but, you know, the King James Study Bible that I have on my phone, because it's just easier to look up things. But, hey, if you have a good study Bible, that's good. So what's a good study Bible? One that has cross-references in it. In fact, look at your Bible, the Bible that you use for studying. Do you have cross-references? You know what I'm talking about? Those are the verses that you can give you another verse that references that particular verse. Sometimes they're in the middle, right? Like, yeah, that's... Anyway, so that's a good study Bible. That'll help you. Now, if you don't have that, if you have the Bible programs that I've been talking about, eSword or mySword, they have all of that. Let me show an example here. Oh, and by the way, I've got my pointer today. Yeah, but it's the one I use with my cat. Let's see if it works up here. Yeah, it works, see? It works as a pointer, too. So. Yeah, my cat loves that, boy, I'll tell you. He meows at me to say, come on, I want to play. Get that pointer out so I can start chasing it. Anyway, I won't talk about the cat anymore. Okay, let's do this. Let me bring up this. So, for example... No, not there. Yeah, I should have done this. Oh, I know what's wrong. Should have brought this up earlier. Oh, where is it? There we go. TSK, there we go. See in the center column there? It's called the Treasury of Scripture Knowledge. most Bible programs use that, okay? And it's useful. It'll give you some scripture references. So, for example, on Galatians 2:13, for the words "the other," they give you some scriptures that you might want to look up, right? And what I can do is I can just click on this thing, and guess, voila, it brings it up. Makes it real easy to look up scriptures, right? I'm lazy. I like to do things quickly. But if you got a Bible with those cross-references, you can use it that way too and look it up. I know people, not everybody likes to use a computer. I like to use a computer, so. Your choice. I'm sorry, say it again, Sue.
What is the thing you have blue highlighted in the
Oh, I just selected that verse. Blue, right? So Galatians 2:13, is that what you're talking about?
Above that.
Oh, Bible? Or verse?
The tab.
So on the left, there's a Bible. It says Bible. That's the blue tab. And in the middle, it says verse. Is that what you're asking? Yeah. If you're using it on a phone, it's different, right? I think it uses like V for verse and C for chapter and probably B for book, would be my guess. But anyway. Yeah, if you want to try some of these things while we're going through it, that's great, okay? Anyway, if you want to try it. If you want to talk about it afterwards or before a service, you know, I'd love to sit down with you and show you some of these things. Okay, let me get rid of that. Okay, let's go back over here. Okay. So we mentioned a good study Bible. Strong's Concordance. Again, with a Bible program, you have all of that, but Strong's Concordance is that big book I brought in, right, that has every word in the Bible, and you can see where it is and what word it's translated from. Very useful book. Webster's 1828 Dictionary. Another book. So one of the books I used in preparing some of these lessons, it has some nice charts and information, is Jensen's Survey of the New Testament. I've used his books since I was a young Christian. There's a book I had, I think the guy who led me to the Lord got me onto it. It was essentially the study of Jesus Christ, the Gospels, okay, life of Christ that Jensen did, which I really like. But anyway, so this might be a help to you. You don't have to get it. Another book that I have found very useful through the years is Larkin's Dispensational Truth. And I will actually use one of the charts from that, hopefully, Lord willing, next week when we talk about the gospel. It's a really nice chart. Anyway, those are some books, you know, and I bet you have some others that you could recommend. And I'm interested in that. If you want to, you know, tell me afterwards some of those, that would be great. Okay, before we get into the actual lesson, I want to know any blessings that the Lord's given you in terms of your study in Galatians, things that God's blessed you with or shown you as you were going through that study. Anything? Yes. And that's good. I'm glad. No, that's okay. That's okay. That's good.
And it's just good because my brain doesn't think like this.
There you go. Well, that's why God put you two together, right? Amen. Same thing with Karen. Karen, where is she, by the way? Oh, there she is right there, right behind you. I'm used to seeing her back there. You know? I'm blind. Karen, she does a lot of studying too, and I get a blessing from the studying that she does. So, yes, Andy.
Circumcision and uncircumcision. That was in there an awful, awful lot.
Yep.
And then it said, circumcise your hearts.
Yeah, so we'll talk about that a little bit, but that's a good thing. So, for example, in the Jewish system, right, and it's still true today, on the eighth day, when a young baby is born, the eighth day of after birth, they, if they want to be in the Jewish system, they have to be circumcised, right? The boys. Uh-huh. And even if you wanted to convert to Judaism, you had, as a male, to be circumcised, right? Uh-huh. So that was a sign of that particular covenant. God actually gave it to Abraham before the law. And so, as you read in the book of Galatians, what's happening? There's these people who are steeped in the law, and they're saying, if you want to be a Christian, you've got to be circumcised, just like the Jewish religion teaches. And the people that we're talking about here are Gentiles. They don't need to be circumcised. Yeah. That's not part of salvation, right? They're adding to faith in Jesus Christ. But God did something even better. He circumcised our heart. He gave us a new heart, right? We're born again, and we have that new heart, and the flesh is, well, that's a whole other study. The flesh is circumcised spiritually from your spirit and your soul, right? And that's, we have something better, better than Old Testament law. That Old Testament law is a picture of what God was going to do in the New Testament. So, well, that's pretty key to this whole book. Anything else? Any other blessing? Yes, Pastor.
I got a real blessing out of chapter 4. Just, it talks about being under bondage.
Yes.
Being adopted.
Yep.
And that adoption of sons. And then an heir. And just all that goes with that. Just been really thinking about that over the last short period of time. And
amen.
Just what a blessing that
amen.
Is.
Amen. That's a study in itself.
Setting us free from the consequences of our flesh and then giving that spiritual life and just how it all works together. And just, and then
There's a lot there, isn't there? Yeah.
The more I get into it, the more. Yeah.
Yeah. So everything we're doing right now, it may be, how can I put this? We're doing an overview, but there's a lot you can dig into.
Yeah.
And what Pastor's talking about there, that whole thing about the inheritance and the father, you know, being adopted into God's family. Boy, If you want to do a study on that. Get out your Strong's Concordance and start looking up some of those words and following those things in the Scripture. You'll get a real blessing. Okay, let's go to the next. I'm going to do this. I'm going to go to the sheet. Somewhere here. There we go, that one right there. Okay. Oop. There we go. Okay. We're going to go over the first two chapters today. Hopefully next week we'll do the next two chapters, and the next week the next two chapters. So there's still time to work on this. I'm not trying to judge anybody, but I just want to get an idea. How many of you finished that first, or the paragraph titles column? Just raise your hand. How many of you have done that? What a blessing. That's good. For the rest of you, keep working. You still got time, okay? We're not done yet. So anyway, so as we go through it's actually the second column. So you got the verses on the left side, then the paragraph titles, right? Which is essentially you just taking a little thought, few words from the particular passage that you're reading. Again, this is not a test. This is not, you don't have to use my words, right? I just pulled them out of the Word of God. You might have something different. But let's just go through it a little bit. Okay, so chapter 1 is kind of an introduction. You know, I put grace to you. Did anybody have, I'm sure somebody had something different. Do you have anything different? Yes?
I put gave himself for our sins.
Amen. That's good. No wrong answer, because it's from the Word of God, right? The Word of God is always right. So, yeah, Sue. Amen. Amen. And you know, actually, as I did this a while ago, as I'm reading over it again, it's kind of like, oh, I might change some of these, right? Because as you read it over, you keep learning more, and God kind of shows you something else. So, okay. And then verses 6 through 10, I had another gospel. Right? I mean, that's, but, you know, maybe you have something else. Might be interested. Yeah. Anyway, another gospel. I mean, that's, what do you have, Sue?
There's only one.
That's right, only one. Yeah. One true gospel. Yep. Very good. Okay. So, one of the things, with that introduction, this book spends a lot of time talking about what the gospel is. And the true gospel, false gospel, what's not included, what is included. And so we're going to study, as I said, the gospel next week, a detailed study of the gospel, just because that's so key to Christianity. If you get another gospel, people won't get saved. He's very strong in this section about another gospel. So when a Jehovah's Witness, for example, preaches another gospel, which they do, you can't get saved from that gospel. When a Mormon teaches another gospel than what the Bible teaches, can't get saved from that gospel. Am I saying that there aren't Mormons that are saved? Or they may be saved in spite of what their church teaches, but that gospel that's being preached is not, that they preach, that false gospel doesn't bring people to Christ. Now, what was the, anybody have an idea what the other gospel was that was being preached by these people to the Galatians? If you read through the book, you might have a little bit of an idea. Anybody? What was the other gospel? Somebody? Oh, Pastor, you want to see? I'm sorry.
Someone else had another thing, but I would say the keeping of the Jewish traditions.
Yeah, that's, the whole thing is, they wanted to add to the gospel. You can't add. I'll use another example. I'm not trying to pick on these groups. They're just groups I'm familiar with. Roman Catholics. They have the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, which is the gospel, by the way. But they add the sacraments. That's a false gospel. Now, can a Roman Catholic be saved? Yes, in spite of the church. But if you believe what the Pope teaches and the church teaches about the sacraments, that's a false gospel. And there's so many examples like that. Yes?
I think Galatians is one of the best books in
Yes.
And Roman Catholics, because it's exactly what they're doing. They're taking the, mm-hmm. there is some similarity.
Yes.
They bring in all of this other stuff.
That's right.
Man, the book of Galatians is very helpful.
Very helpful.
And going through with us.
Yep.
Genuinely loves the Lord.
And amen.
Just,
amen. Yep. In fact, Paul, we'll see, maybe we'll get a little chance to see this. He actually goes into what these false teachers were doing, how they did it. He gives some details on that. It's very interesting. It's a good book on cults. If you want to know, you know, the cults and the false teachers, how they work, what they do, you can read all about it. Maybe look at Galatians chapter 4 in particular. Yes. Oh, sorry. Yep.
They just were not talking to me.
Yep.
And so I used the thief on the cross.
Yep, yep. Amen, that's good.
You know, and my neighbor ended up breaking down in tears.
Oh, wow.
Died 2 weeks later, so I don't know. But that,
she might have.
Simple little thing like that.
Mm-hmm. That's a blessing. Yep, yep. Amen. Okay. So notice this, the next column there, right? You've got paragraph titles, segment titles, and, you know, these names, they're not important. What's important is what's in those columns, okay? Kind of an outline. I put down introduction. Anybody try anything on that? Do you have an idea for what you might put on that one? Segment, in the segment column for that first? You could put a lot of things. Yes? What's that?
Greeting.
Greeting, yeah, that's good. That's all good. Okay, let's keep going down. Go a little faster now. So for the next paragraph titles, you've got a lot about, actually, you know, as I look at this thing, a lot of it is the testimony of Paul as you read this thing, right? So for example, he persecuted the church, verses 13 through 14, 15 through 17, revealed his son in me, right? That's what I have. You may have other things. 18 through 20, went up to Jerusalem, and 21 through 24, glorified God in me. That's a lot of that's personal testimony, right? That's his testimony. He's telling you what God did in his life. And so I probably changed that from gospel from God to personal testimony, but but anyway. But as he's talking about that, he's talking about the gospel. He's talking about how he got saved, right? Anybody... something different that they might want to share on those particular passages? Yes, Andy.
There was a point there where they were talking about his eyes.
Oh, that's later on.
And I think that maybe he had macular degeneration.
That's one of the theories, is that his eyesight was really bad. Look at all the things he went through, right?
Yeah.
There's different ideas. I don't know if we can say for sure. There's one verse that talks about they would have given their eyes, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe that.
That's why I thought that maybe he had.
Could be.
Eye problems.
Yep. And it's interesting, God didn't heal him from that. Uh-huh. Here's a guy who healed others, and he himself couldn't get healed from that. And 2 Corinthians chapter 12 talks all about that. So it's interesting. God uses these things in people's lives. It's not God's will that every person be healed.
No.
It'd be nice if it was, but it's not God's, you know. Mm-hmm. He'll heal some, he won't heal others. He'll use people in their particular situation, right?
Yeah.
He does. I think of Fanny Crosby, blind.
Yeah.
Wrote some of the best music. I mean, we still sing it today.
Yeah.
So, but it's a blessing to have good eyesight. Right. If you have good eyesight, thank God.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. But if you don't, you've got a lot of friends that
blind your
eyes.
There you go. That's good. I like that. Okay. Let's go on to chapter 2, just so I can get into the next section I want to get into here. Okay. In section 2, I have essentially what he's doing is he's, and we're going to get into detail in this section, but he's communicating the gospel to the apostles, and then he gets in a little disagreement with Peter.
Yeah.
Actually, a major one. We're going to talk about that, okay? Because it's really the foundation of this whole thing. So let me ask you a few questions just for you to think about. Galatians was written, if I'm right, and I think a lot of people believe this, it's like the second book of the New Testament that was written. They believe James was first and then Galatians was second. So before Galatians is written, you have maybe one New Testament book, James, right? Let's assume they have that. What do you think the Galatian Christians, after they got saved, so Paul goes there in Galatia or in Acts chapter 13 and 14, and he's preaching to them, and do you have an idea what do you think he's preaching? He's not preaching the new, I mean, he's giving New Testament truths, but what Bible is he preaching? The Old Testament, right? It's all Old Testament. These Galatians, pretty much all they have is the Old Testament. You should keep that in mind as you're reading this thing. And so when these people come around and say, you know, you need to keep the law, well, they've got the Old Testament. They kind of, well, yeah, I guess it does talk about the Sabbath and all these dietary things and circumcision and all that, you know, so they're kind of confused, right? And what is Paul doing? He's trying to set them straight. He's trying to show that, no, as a Gentile, you don't have to do this, okay? Anyway, so here in verses 1 through 5, I have communicated the gospel. Maybe you have something else. That's fine. And 6 through 10, he talks about the gospel of the circumcision and the uncircumcision, getting into Peter was sent to the Jews, the circumcision, Paul to the uncircumcision. Okay, so they're both preaching, and they're actually preaching the same gospel. It's just to two different groups. And then verses 11 through 13, Peter, I withstood. The infallible Pope was fallible. He messed up big time. We'll see how he messed up. And Paul set him straight. And then 14 through 16, we're not justified by the works, in this case the works of the law, but any works. I don't care if it's your works, it's the works that the Jehovah Witnesses teach about, you know, whatever, or the Mormons, or whatever, any works. The Catholic Church teaches works don't save you. It's not by works. And then verses 17 through 21, I put crucified with Christ. But you may have some different things. Any other thoughts there? Things that you might have... Well, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, in that third segment there, you got confirmation by the apostles. I've got Paul accepted by the apostles.
There you go.
As a part of that, in verses 6 through 10,
mm-hmm.
where you have gospel of the uncircumcision,
yep.
I've got in Galatians 2:8, it points out that as God wrought effectually in Peter, the same was mighty in Paul.
Mm-hmm.
So God was working just as effectively through Paul as
mm-hmm. Peter. Yep, he was. Yep.
Even though Peter is accepted as like one of the head apostles, you know, Paul was working that same thing.
That's a good point. And you know, Peter even in his one of his epistles says that what Paul wrote was scripture.
Yeah. Yeah.
We should look at that at some point. But so Peter had no problem with Paul, except a little problem that Peter accepted what Paul rebuked him for. But
Peter's problem with Paul, as far as that goes, I think was more Peter's problem.
It was, yeah. Okay, anything else? Yes, Sue.
For 11:13, I have Paul blames Peter for the hypocrisy. Is that correct?
Yep. We'll get into the hypocrisy in a minute. Yep, very good. Okay. Okay, let's stop there. And now what I want to do, oops, I'm going to switch. Okay. I want you to turn to Galatians 2:17. So, I don't know if you remember, I asked if anybody had questions, you know, to send them to me or text them to me or whatever you want to do. And I got one. And I would love more. Because what questions do is they get you studying the Word of God. And so I won't say who gave me the question because it makes no difference. Others may have the same question. So let's do this. Galatians chapter 2, verse 17. Now, I'm going to do what you shouldn't do, which is just read it out of context. Okay, then we're going to read it in context because that's how you study the Bible. But let me just read it out of context. If I can find Galatians chapter 2, verse 17. It says there, "But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid." Now, what's going on there? Maybe you read that and say, "Oh, I have no problem with it." I actually read this over many times and I thought I understood it. And I think I pretty much understood it, but when I was asked the question, I was like, "Okay, let me do a little more study here." So, I've got the steps I went through. First thing I always do is when a question comes up, I read the context. Just read it. I don't care if it's somebody who is attacking the Bible or somebody that just has an honest question. That's what I do. So, the context, well, let's see here. Let's start in verse 11. You could read the whole chapter, but verse 11. So it says there, "But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles." So if you remember the Gospels, the Pharisees would always complain that, you know, Jesus Christ was eating with sinners and the Jews were very much against, for example, the Samaritans, right? Why? Because they weren't full Jewish, right? They were kind of half Jewish, half Gentile. And the Jews were against any contact with Gentiles. Or at least minimize it as much as possible because they were unclean. Aren't you glad you've been cleansed in the blood of Christ? But anyway, but when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. So these would be Jewish believers who were still stuck on the law, right? There's actually two heresies or two false teachings. One is you need to get circumcised, become a Jew, you know, follow the Jewish law to get saved. And then there's those who said, "Well, yeah, you're saved, but now you need to keep the law to really be a good Christian." Two different things, right? The one is saying that's necessary for salvation. The other one is saying, you know, you need to add these things, which both of them are wrong, but just a little different. But anyway, so these, by the way, you probably know this, in the book of Acts, there were a bunch of priests that got saved. Priests, people that ministered in the temple, they got saved through the preaching of the gospel. So, anyway, just for what it's worth. Okay. So, look at verse 13. "And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation." So, one of the other things that I have down here is looking up different difficult words in Strong's and Webster's. Again, maybe that word dissimulation, you know what that means. It's still used today. It's just not common, right? We don't use it that often. You know, if you look it up in a Webster's 1828, and actually I did that. Let's see if I can do this. Oh. There you go, right over there. Dissimulation. The act of dissembling, a hiding. I'll use my pointer here. There you go. The act of dissembling, a hiding under a false appearance, a feigning, false pretension, hypocrisy, etc., etc. And I like it on Webster's 1828, he actually gives you scripture. "Let love be without dissimulation," Romans 12. He'll do that quite often. You could also do it in Strong's. If you do it in Strong's, and what you can do is, I'll show you. You can go here and then click on the word. Where's dissimulation? There it is. You click on that word, brings this up, and then you click here, and it puts it down there. Anyway, This is the word that we, it's hypocrisis, but we would say hypocrite, okay? It's where we get our word hypocrite. We get a lot of words from Greek. You probably don't realize that, but a lot of the words come from Greek. So this is the word we get the word hypocrite from. So acting under a feigned part, that is figuratively deceit, hypocrisy. And then here's how it's translated: condemnation, dissimulation, hypocrisy. So anyway, let's go back here. So the next thing, well, we haven't finished actually. We have to keep reading the context. Okay, verse 14. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles. So Peter had actually stopped keeping some of the law, right? A lot of the law. He was living after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews. Why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? By the way, have you ever heard of the term Judaizer? Is that term? If you read some of the commentaries and books, they'll talk about Judaizers. It comes from a Greek word that's actually at the end of this verse, to live as do the Jews. That's what a Judaizer is. It's a verb, to live as the Jews, okay? And that's what they were trying to get them to do. We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. So he's making a contrast. We'll study more of these contrasts, hopefully. But there's the faith, you know, of Christ, and there's the works of the law. Two different things. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Then we have the verse that we're studying. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of God, of sin? God forbid. Now, well, I could keep going, and we will in a second. There's a couple of questions. It says, while we. Who is the we in this passage? I'll give you a hint. It's in verse 15. Check it out. What does verse 15 say? We who are Jews. He's speaking from a Jewish perspective. Why? Because he's talking to Peter. Peter and Paul are both Jews. Both Jews. So we who are Jews. See that? So that's the context. We who are Jews. But if we seek to be justified by Christ, both Paul and Peter did that, right? They were justified by Jesus Christ, not by the works of the law. We ourselves also are found sinners. Sinners. Where in this chapter do we read about sinners? Which one? Okay. No, that's okay. Okay. Look at verse 15. Who are the sinners? Sinners of the Gentiles. To a Jew, by nature, when they talked about sinners, they were talking about Gentiles. If they kept the law, well, we're good. Right? Remember Christ talking to the Pharisees? They had a problem with this thing. They said, oh, I'm righteous. I keep the law. And Gentiles, they're just sinners. Well, guess what? When you're not trusting the law, then you know you're a sinner, right? Peter and Paul knew they were sinners. The law couldn't justify them. The law couldn't take care of their sins. It just showed them how bad they were. That's what it shows. So, anyway. So the idea is this in verse 17. They've been justified. They're seeking to be justified by Christ, right? But because they're being justified by Christ, they're no longer trusting the law. From the Jewish perspective, they're sinners. They're just like Gentiles. If you don't keep the law, you're like a Gentile. Okay? And from the Jewish perspective, oh, that means you're lost. There's no chance for you. No chance for you. And so what they're saying next, so we ourselves also are found sinners. Well, yeah, we're sinners. Is therefore Christ the minister of sin? In other words, because we're justified through Christ and not through the law, which the Jews believe is the way to get right with God, does that make Christ a minister of sin? No, but that's how the Jewish mind was going. Okay? And he says, God forbid, the strongest way you could say, no, that's not true. We're justified by grace, not through the law. And actually, keep reading here. You get even more of the context. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. If I try to go back, let me put it in other words, if I try to go back to the law, it's not going to take away my sins. It condemns me. I'm a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. Right? And in fact, he goes on, verse 20. This is, again, verse 20 in context. I am crucified with Christ. When did that happen? When you trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior. You were essentially put into Jesus Christ, into his death, burial, and resurrection. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. That happened at your salvation. Christ came to live within you. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I mean, that's a great verse. Good verse to memorize if you're looking for a verse to memorize. It kind of summarizes the Christian life, okay? And then verse 21, he summarizes it. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Okay, that word frustrate. First of all, you can't frustrate God. But you can frustrate his grace. How do you do that? By making it of none effect. And if you look, we'll see later in Galatians where that's what they were doing, right? When they were taking the law, it talks about falling from grace. That doesn't mean a saved person is losing salvation. It's saying, if you're trusting in the law, grace can't help you. You've fallen from grace. Grace isn't going to help you. You need to trust Jesus Christ for your salvation, not the law. There's either law or grace. The two don't the two don't mix, okay? The law will not justify you. You need to be justified through faith in Jesus Christ. And so he says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. No, Paul promoted the grace of God, but these people who were trying to get him to follow the law, to get their righteousness, are frustrating the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, as they teach, right, the false teachers teach, then Christ is dead in vain. Why did Jesus die? If you can get saved through keeping law, I don't care if it's God's law or anybody's law. That's a good question to ask somebody who, you know, is trying to, you know, with Catholic, Mormon, whatever. Why did Jesus die? Yes. I think in this context, it's really somebody is taking themselves out of even being able to be saved, right? It's a little different. If they're trusting the law, they're taking. But, I don't know. I haven't thought of that. Good question. See, another one you got to get me to study. That's good. But I think it's more of frustrating the grace, not God. I don't think God is frustrated. God knows all these things. You can grieve the Spirit, as you said. You can. There's a lot of things you can do, but I think this is talking about the grace of God. Yes?
In Galatians 5:4, it says, Christ has become of no effect on you.
Yes.
Whosoever of you are justified by the law.
Yep.
So it kind of goes hand in hand with what you're saying.
Exactly.
It's frustrating the grace of God in that you're accepting the law as salvation over the grace of God.
That's right. That's right. And in fact, you just went to one of my cross references.
Oh.
Good. Well, you are great. But. Okay, that was the next step, going to the cross references. So let's go to Galatians 5, because that's really good. How are we doing? Okay. Pastor, you're great. I didn't even have to tell you to do that. I was just Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Let's just get the context here. Galatians 5:1 is almost like the, key verse of this whole thing. It says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Yoke of bondage being the law. Okay? God, Jesus Christ has given us liberty. It's not liberty to sin. It's liberty from the law, because the law cannot justify you. Okay? And actually, it's the liberty to live for Christ, because he's given you a new life. But anyway, keep reading here. It says, "Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing." Right? If they're trusting in that circumcision, Christ isn't going to help you at all. "For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is debtor to do the whole law." You mess up one time in the law, that's it. Wow. I'm glad I'm under that system. I'm under grace. "Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace." And that's what it's talking about. So it's talking about somebody who's trusting in the law for their salvation. "For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love." Anyway, and there's another cross-reference there, but I will not do that right now because I want to go to the next slide, okay? But you have those cross-references there. You can do your own study. Let's go to the next one here. I just show this. So if you wanted to cheat, you could have just used Schofield. But this is the Schofield note in the ESORT program that kind of goes through what I talked about, okay? Sometimes study Bibles have things like that, but it's almost better for you just to search it out yourself and let God show you. And then use the study Bibles, the commentaries, whatever you have, to help you after that. But this kind of goes through that. So you've got that there too. You can read it on your own. Okay, I want to quickly do this because next week I want to get into the gospel. Old Testament cross-references in Galatians. Remember I said that was their Bible. They had the Old Testament. So Paul is over and over again referring to scriptures that they might have on their person, okay? So I'm not going to look at every one of these. You've got them. I'm going to take some of these because I really want to get into some of these things quickly. So let's go to Galatians 3:6. By the way, these people are Gentiles. Anybody know what their main language was typically? The New Testament was written in it. Greek. So were they reading the Old Testament in Greek? They might be. What people don't realize is God got his word out as soon as he could in whatever the main language was at the time. And Greek was the language of that time. The apostles did not write in Hebrew, okay? Because most people could not have gotten it. But at that time, both Jews and Gentiles could speak Greek. I don't know if you realize this, in Rome, Greek was spoken maybe even more often than Latin. Okay? Greek in the Roman world was the language. So God used the language that could reach the most people. Okay? By the way, today, you know what language that is that can reach the most people? English. I mean, Spanish is good. A lot of people speak Spanish. But English, you go to China, you go to Japan, you go to Korea, you go to almost anywhere, and if people are educated and really want to move ahead, they'll learn English. It is the world language. Some of these people can speak multiple languages. You go to Europe, they can speak 5-6 languages, right? We're kind of, we should be learning more languages here, but anyway. But English is used everywhere. So I believe there was some Greek Bibles available for people back then. How much? I don't know, but...
Wasn't the Septuagint?
Right. So the problem with the Septuagint is there's some things in terms of the origin of that that are fables, if you read some of the stuff. But I do believe that there was a Greek translation. There's actually manuscripts that are pre-New Testament times that are Greek translations. So you can actually see some manuscripts like that. Anyway, the point is God gets his word to the people in their language. Even after the New Testament's written, not everybody spoke Greek. You know, there's people, you know, maybe that spoke different languages, and God got those languages, got the word of God into those languages. Okay, so what was I going to say? So Galatians 3, 6. Let's start there. Galatians 3, 6. And you should read the context, but I'm just going to read the verse. It says, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. That comes from Genesis 15, verse 6. If you want to, just keep your hand in Galatians, because we'll be back there. Go to Genesis 15. And this is a very key verse. This is used all the time. Genesis 15 and verse 6. Let's read the context. God's making a promise to Abraham. He says, and behold, verse 4, 15, 4. Behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, talking about, you know, at that time Abraham had no son, and he mentioned Eliezer, his steward. He says, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. In other words, somebody that will be born between you and Sarah, right? And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven, and tell the stars. By the way, that word tell, you know what a teller is, right? Counts money. So telling the stars is counting the stars. It's an old English way of saying it. Anyway, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Wow. Try counting the stars sometime. Good luck with that one. And it's just gotten worse as they have telescopes now. There are a lot of stars out there, right? And verse 6, and he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Abraham didn't keep the law. He did this before he was circumcised. And Paul will make a big deal out of that. But he believed the Lord, and God gave him righteousness, God's righteousness. Let me show you another verse, Galatians 3:8. And this one, I want you to tell me if you have the same cross-reference I have, because I've noticed a lot of the Bibles don't, and they should. Verse 8, Galatians 3:8, and the Scripture, and I better stop at this one, and the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Now, I have Genesis 18:18, but in your cross-references, anybody have Genesis 18:18? Or, yeah, good, okay. 12:3. But if let's look at Genesis 18:18, then we'll look at 12:3, okay? I just want to make a point here, because cross-references aren't always infallible, okay? The only thing that's infallible is the Word of God. Everything else is, you know, use it as a help. But Genesis 18:18, let's see what it says there. I should have pointed out a word that it uses, but I'll point it out when we get to Genesis 18:18. It says there, seeing that Abraham, this is when the three angels appear to Abraham, and one of them is the Lord, okay? Yeah, look at verse 16, get the context. And the men rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations, notice the word nations there, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. So it mentions nations there. If you look at Galatians 3:8, it uses the word nations. Let's look at Genesis 12:3. And maybe I'm being picky, but I know, I believe every word. Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Nations versus families. There's a difference between those two words, okay? So the other thing, what really interesting one, and we won't do it right now, but if you look at Galatians 3:16, Paul makes an argument there that the seed of Abraham is singular. And the verse that goes with that is Genesis 22:18. He's arguing from what the Word of God says. He's taking it very literally and saying, that word seed is singular, so that means that's talking about Christ. Just check it out. I think you'll find it really interesting. Paul was a real stickler for what the Word of God said, and I think any Christian should be that way too. Don't let people mess with the Word of God. Just believe what it says. I better stop there. Any final questions? So next week we'll talk about the gospel. Go in depth. More depth than you probably want to go into, but we're going to go into it. The gospel. Do a little rightly dividing, okay? Rightly dividing. A little, even getting a little prophecy. Okay? So let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, so much for your word. Thank you, Lord, that what a blessing it is, Lord, that you gave us your perfect, holy word, Lord. Help us to follow it. And Lord, we need your strength, we need your spirit, Lord, and I pray you bless the service that's to follow. Help the choir, Lord, as we sing this song, Lord, and the preaching and everything be for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.